things that's been really a blessing about the plans for the summer is just the incredible support that we have from Elam Fellowship and the enthusiasm that some of the speakers who are coming have had to say, oh, come, not just for a week, I'll come for 3 weeks. And that's just incredible not to be, you know, subjecting you to a different speaker every week for 12 weeks or whatever. But several months ago, the president of Elam Fellowship, Chris Ball, said, I would love to come out that Sunday and be with your congregation the Sunday before you leave. And so he and Carol, if you would stand, I want everybody to meet you. And come on up here. And Carol is going to be with us in August. And did you want to say hello?
Yes. I just wanted to say hello, and I'm just excited about what God is doing. I'm sure you can sense it, and you heard this morning, but, you know, your pastors, them going for this summer, it's a great thing, and you already heard that, but, you know, God's going to refresh them and bless them and give them increased vision and just do great, mighty things in them, and he's going to do it in you, too, and what God is doing in them, it's going to affect all of you, and it's going to affect this church. So, you know, you already thanked them, but it's a good thing. It's a great thing. So, and keep them in prayer, and I'm sure they'll be keeping you in prayer. And so that's a great thing. And I'm just looking forward to, I just feel honored and privileged that I was asked to come, and I'm just excited about seeing you all in August. So, amen? Amen? That's so great. And I was just up here doing worship. I just love the presence. I love the presence of God when we come here. The worship in this place is just wonderful. And it's about the presence of God. And you get that here. And it's just so great because we've said it before, but we go around to all different churches. And it's just wonderful to come and be in God's presence with a body, a group of people, and a congregation that gets the presence of God in their worship. But during worship, we were singing that song, and I just wanted an opportunity because while we were singing the one song about the I am yours, and I'm down here, and I'm saying, I am yours, Lord, and I'm going, but so wonderful, you are mine, and I'm going, I am my beloved, and he's, you know, to myself, I'm having this time, and he is mine, and then Coley, sorry, had that word. I'm going, yeah, that's a word. And well, one thing, you've got like a red guitar. It's kind of maroonish, I guess, but that's pretty cool because my guitar is red too. But the Lord just wanted me to share something with you, Coley, about that you have, and I didn't even know you were like tag teaming preaching or anything at this point, but the Lord was saying that you have a gift that he's giving you, a prophetic gift. And sometimes you have more words that he gives you, and you have more things that he gives you, and sometimes you're not sure if that's if that's really okay, something I should share or from God. And so you have a hesitation in you, and God says he doesn't want you to do that anymore because he's given you that gift, and he's going to really perfect that gift and release that gift more in you. And that's what he was telling me to tell you. So don't, sometimes you shrink back from me saying, no, this is the time to step into it. And he's going to really expand that gift. And even that, amen? And even that you're preaching more, it's going to show up in that too, that prophetic gift. So really step into it. Amen? And that's, amen. So, amen. So, bless you, and I'm looking forward to August, and I'll give it over to my husband now.
Good morning. It is so awesome to be here. I told Jack I'd come even if I didn't have to preach. I would love to have been here today. Jack is one of my favorite people. I'm telling you, I'm not just saying that, and I don't say that everywhere I go. Isn't that true, Carol? I don't say that. I just love this pastor. How many of you just absolutely are stoked about your pastor and Sandy there? Amen. Come on. Hey, listen, give it up a little bit louder than that. Come on. Amen. Amen. At first, I thought it was just like a little golf clap here, you know, just a polite golf clap, you know. But I am very, very excited. He got, to, you know, these guys invited our son to live in their house. That's like totally awesome. And they fell in love with him and wanted to keep him. And he and Sarah because people ask me, Sarah and him are doing extremely well. In fact, you know, you're home, so I'll just say it. Well, while he lived with Jack, they had some real rough times. They were dating, new dating couple, and I told him to break up with her, and he listened to me. He right in his driveway, he cried his eyes out right in Jack's driveway, 2 o'clock in the morning. I came over, and Jack wondered, who's in my driveway? Oh, it's President Chris. It's okay. And but I was there to see my son, and but things weren't going well. And I said, listen, God's bigger than anything. He can handle this. And he listened. And within 24 hours, man, things turned around. She's become one of the most wonderful daughter-in-laws we could ever ask for. And we just love them. They're together like this. And they just celebrated their first anniversary married. Isn't that cool? And he loved this place, and he loved being with you. And I appreciate those of you that ask about them. And they're doing very, very well. So I just wanted to make sure you knew that. Thank you for caring for our kid. On the way over here, we said, Carol and I, we were talking, and I said, this is a cool church, man. I'm telling you, this is like, of all the churches I go to, I said, didn't I say this morning? I said, of all the churches, this church has more potential than I see, more potential for growth, for imparting to your community than most churches that I go to. I'm telling you that for a fact. Most people just do church, but you got more to do. Hello? And I'm very, very excited about this. And one of the reasons I wanted to come is just to support this whole concept of what your pastors are doing, that Pastor Jack and Pastor Sandy are doing. They are taking some time to be better for you. Not that they're bad. In fact, I couldn't say, I'm glad you're leaving. I just couldn't do it. I just wasn't ready to do that. You know what I'm saying? It just wasn't that. But I could say thank you for trusting in a God that can care for the church. Amen? Thank you for being a strong leader, because I took a sabbatical, but that was after I quit my job. You know what I'm saying? And I took a sabbatical between my role as pastor and then when I became the president. And I took time. I went to Africa, which, by the way, those things right there, I had the opportunity to be the keynote speaker in the graduating class of 300 African pastors in Tanzania using that course right there. I mean, it was awesome. And it just happened last November. It's amazing. 300 pastors. I have pictures of it. I should have brought my laptop. It would have been a cool thing. Because when you're sowing into this and your mission team to give that to them, you're sowing into the nation, not just to pastors. You're sowing into the nation. And it was awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. And so this is a cool church. And so I took a sabbatical, and I'm a workaholic. I love ministry. I love doing what. But God called me to a season in the transition to sit there and prepare myself. And believe it or not, now it's been 3 years. I just got voted back in to be a president for another 3 years, which is really interesting. I had 2 no votes, me and Carol. The truth is that I feel that sabbatical that I took is now just engaged in my life. In other words, it was a thinking time, but I didn't start seeing the fruit of it until now. Are you with me? So there was times in that sabbatical I started thinking about, okay, we need to go back. I need to start this ministry as a president. I want to see this transition happen. I want to see this happen, because God began to speak to me. And I'm not even seeing it until now. I'm seeing it now. It's pretty cool. And so how many of you are going to pray for your pastors as they go? Come on. Okay, everybody put their hand down. Now, those that didn't raise their hand, I want to know why right now, okay? Okay, come on. How many? You need to be praying for these folks. Come on, raise your hand up again if you're going to be praying. Look around, pastor. They're going to be praying for you. They're going to be standing with you. Amen? So here's the word that I want to give you, and I want to talk to you. If you have a Bible, turn to Isaiah chapter 54. I'm going to preach out of one verse. By the time you're done, you'll have that verse memorized. And by the way, I want to sign up for the reading course. I want a free gift. You know what I'm saying? And the summer reading course. So, hey, listen, Isaiah chapter 54, verse 2, one verse in the Bible. I'm going to read it. I've entitled my message, Enlarging Your Capacity for Greatness. Enlarging Your Capacity for Greatness. Let me read that verse to you. It's very simple. I'm going to read it out of the New King James Version. And it says this. Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. And then it goes on to say, do not spare, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. Let me read it again. Enlarge the place of your tents and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. Do not spare, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. You know, Isaiah 53 is probably one of the most popular chapters in the Bible. By his stripes we are healed, isn't that? The chapter 53 talks about the price of what it takes for you to enter into all that God has. The price has been paid. Amen? Chapter 55 is about the promise. The promise, it says things like this, my word will not return void. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. God has promised this church. He's promised you as individuals. He's promising pastors Jack and Sandy that some great things in the next 3 months to come into their lives. He's promising things. What I see in chapter 54, and I'm only going to preach one verse. If you want to really study it, the whole chapter speaks to this. But I'm going to give you one verse. And that verse and this chapter speaks to the preparation. See, the price is in 53. The promise is in chapter 55. But what we see in chapter 54 is to the church, to the people of God, the preparation, what it takes to position yourself for all the promises that God has for you. And the reason I called this enlarging your capacity for greatness is because God wants to do some great things. I'm speaking to three targets this morning. Here's the targets. I shared this with Pastor Jack in the office earlier this morning. Believe God is saying to me that number one, watch this now, I'm speaking this message to Pastor Jack and Pastor Sandy. He's going to speak to them today through me. I guarantee it. Number two, he's speaking to this whole church as a whole. So leaders, listen to me. I am going to speak in the same message to not only your pastors, but to this church as a whole. But then number three, the third target, I'm speaking to you. I really mean that. I really believe that some of you are going to hear a word from the Lord today in my message. I believe this church is going to get a word from this. I believe the pastors are going to get, but I'm speaking to you as an individual. Now, it's your job and your responsibility now to listen to this and say, God, speak to me clearly. Speak to me clearly. Because I believe that God wants to enlarge their capacity for greatness. I believe God wants to enlarge this church's capacity for greatness. I believe God wants to enlarge you and your capacity for greatness. Now, when you start talking about being great, people in the church get a little weird because they try to get super spiritual about that. And they say, we're not supposed to be great. Well, that's not true. Even when the disciples were wrestling with each other and said, who's going to be the greatest? Jesus never said to them, no, don't be great. He said, watch this. If you're going to be great, be a servant. See, he didn't argue with them to become great. He wants you. In fact, he said it this way. Greater things shall you do than he has done. There is a greatness in God that he wants you to have and experience. God wants you to experience a greater capacity for his greatness to work in you. He wants to do that as this church. He wants to do that for you in this whole place. And the other criteria that you find it in a different part of the Bible is when the disciples or the mother of the sons of Zebedee are talking and they again are arguing, who's going to be sitting next to you? And he says, if you're going to be great, be humble. So you need to be a servant, you need to be humble, but at the same time, enlarge your capacity to become great in God, to even become greater in God. God wants to enlarge your capacity for greatness. There's three things I see in this passage, in this one verse, that I believe that God wants to put his finger on your church, your pastors, and you. And here they are. Number one, he starts out by saying, this is amazing. This is mind-blowing to me. He says, enlarge the place of your tent. Point number one, clear out your space. He didn't say enlarge your tent. I've read that for years and years and years, and I always heard it prophesied wrong, misquoted, saying enlarge your tent. No, it says enlarge your place of your tent. How many of you are a Boy Scout? Come on, gentlemen in the room. I was a Boy Scout. I was born in England, came to the United States in 1969. I was born in 59. I was 9 years old, and I came to the U.S., and my father, I felt like I was out of touch. I was a little English boy, spoke with a cute little British accent. That went away. But my dad thought it would be a good idea for me to be a Boy Scout. It would help me connect, right? It was the Boy Scouts of America, right? And so here I am, a Boy Scout. But he put me in one of his friend's Boy Scout troops, and his friend was a military Marine drill sergeant. I joined the Marines, 13 years of age, and I'm in the Marines. I'm not kidding you. And then this guy was into camping, and when he was into camping, he wasn't into Winnebago camping. He wasn't into Red Roof Inn camping. He wasn't into camping with a tent that you buy at, you know, Best Buy or something. He was into camping with a raincoat and a rope. I'm serious. That's exactly what I faced as a little, you know, I think I joined when I was 11, 12, 13. During those 3 years, I literally walked in those three years, I walked the whole Appalachian Trail in the state of Virginia. It goes too far from Florida to New York right now. No. But in the state of Virginia. I'm serious. But that's this guy, and he would just be walking along and he'd say, Ben, I'm 11. We are camping here tonight, right? And this is what I knew. I learned this. He said, we need to clean out our space. And I remember thinking, what's the big deal? I'm so tired from the walk. I just want to lay down and go to sleep. And I didn't clean out my space. And I learned quickly what a rock feels like in your back all night long. How many know what I'm talking about? I've been camping, right? And so you need to clean out your space. And I thought of three things that we need to clean out of our space. Number one, rocks. Number two, really, because he would put us in the middle of a field, those stalks that look so pretty in the wind are not so cool in your back. And number three, there was little ditches that you had to take your shoes because we didn't have shovels. My mom and dad dropped me off at the end of that 3 years at the Monongahela National Forest in West Virginia with this guy for a week. The last 2 days I had to learn, I was 13 years old. My parents would be arrested for this now. With matches and a raincoat, and that was it for 2 days. Blindfolded in a little Ford station wagon, dropped off, see you in 2 days back at the ranch. And I had to figure out how to get there. But I learned stuff for life. The first thing, you got to clean out the rocks. Number two, you got to clean out the stalks that are in the weeds. And number three, you got to, uneven spaces, you got to make them flat. Now, when I think of the rocks in a church, I see them as hard things. There's things that we can get hard about in our life. And I believe that sometimes even ministry can get you hard. Now, I don't see that in them, but I know every now and then I see it in me. And God needs to put his finger on us. What's hard in your life, Chris? What needs to be taken care of that's like a, and you know, when Carol and I, we go somewhere every Sunday now. We're somewhere different every Sunday almost. And when we have altar calls, it's amazing to me how many people who've been forgiven by the blood of Jesus for their sins have a hard time forgiving others. And we have an altar call. People come and they say, I've got this bitterness in me. I've got this unforgiveness in me. Listen, that's a rock. That's a rock in your back. That's a rock in your life. And see, you can do three or four things with rocks. Number one, you can throw them. And that's what a lot of times we do as believers. We get upset about something and we throw a rock at somebody. Another thing that pastors can sometimes do is carry something that God never intended for us to carry. The church sometimes can carry stuff. Individuals. You're walking around with weight on you, trying to be a happy Christian worshiping in the worship time, with weight on you that he never intended for you to have. Another thing you can do is build an altar with rocks. I believe God is going to give Jack and Sandy times before him where they build an altar and they lay themselves before God and say, God, enlarge our capacity for greatness. I think there's things going on in this church that God's going to say, I'm building an altar before you, the leaders of this church, and we're ready for whatever you have ready for us. I believe that this is not a time to sit back. This is a time to show up and show that you are the church, not just your leaders. That you can say, this is an altar. Wouldn't it be cool if Pastor came back and all the pews were filled? That would be cool, man. That would be like, let's introduce you to our pastor. Isn't that cool? I'm believing for great things. Maybe some of you here are carrying stuff. You need to get rid of it and build an altar. It's hard. Oh, how about the weeds? There's a story in the Bible where they throw seed everywhere. Jesus is throwing seed, but one of the times the seed falls on ground where there are weeds. And it says this about those weeds, that the weeds take the word and choke it. Right? Isn't it interesting that we get enough preaching and teaching, amazing preaching and teaching is going to come to this church during this next 3 months, but you've been getting the best teaching from this church from a pastor that loves you like none of your guests will. And you've been getting that word, and sometimes you wonder, what is it? What is it? I'll tell you what it is. There's stuff in our lives that choke out the word. You want to enlarge your capacity? You got to cut down some weeds. There are habits in our lives, things we spend our time on, things that we do. This is the summer to enlarge your capacity for greatness. This is the summer where you might have to, as an eldership, say, well, what do we need to move? What do we need to change? What do we need to do? And when pastors come back, Pastor, we thought about this. What do you think? I wouldn't be surprised if pastors heard from God and confirmed some things. Because God wants to enlarge this church's capacity for greatness. Now, this one here, I don't think it's happening in this church, but sure it did happen in my church. And the nice thing about leaving my church 4 years ago is I get to talk about them now. And I love them very, very much. But boy, I'll tell you, that unevenness of the Christian walk sometimes. That unevenness, laying in a ditch all night long. You come out like an accordion design. You know what I'm saying? But that unevenness that can happen in our lives. Let me show you what I mean. That emotional up and downness. Where is it? Where is it that we have that excellent spirit working in us? Where is it that we can have that capacity to be able to stand strong even when it's not going so good? And instead of modeling to the world around us that we are the most emotional people in the world, God wants to even out your life. He wants to deal with it. Now, there's things where people get depressed, and we need to look at that, and God has answers for all that. Sometimes it needs to be done medically. But I'm telling you right now, insecurity needs to go. Because we have someone to be completely secure in. Hello. And insecurity is one of the most permitted sins in the world. We permit it. I'm not sure I'd always call it a sin, but it's certainly behavior. And God wants to deal with that, number one, in the next 3 months, the next 90 days. I'm praying that you and I and pastors in this church and you as an individual would determine to clean out your space. Take a look inside and say, God, search me, oh God, and see if there's any hidden agenda, any wicked way, anything going on in me. Lord, use this time to deal with me so that I can enlarge my capacity for your greatness. Clear out your space. Clear out your space. So number one says, enlarge the place of your tent, not the tent. Enlarge the place of your tent. He wants this church to clean out his space so it can enlarge this church's capacity. He wants you as individuals to look at your hearts and you look at your lives and say, what God needs to go? What needs to stop so that I can move forward in your capacity with the great things you have planned for me? Turn to somebody and say, clean out your space. Some of you enjoyed that really well there, right there. Yeah, first time you got to tell somebody, clean up, you know. Hey, let me read the Message version of this. This is a cool, the Message version of the Bible. It says this. I usually say Message Virgin, but I mean version, you know what I'm saying? Here we go. Clear the lots of ground for your tent. Make the tent pegs large. Spread out. Think big. Use plenty of rope and drive the tent pegs deep. Number two, clean out your space. Number two, stretch out your reach. Stretch out your reach. We have a nice home at home there in Rush now, and we just bought it, and we have a shower curtain. How many have a shower curtain versus a metal or a glass curtain? But we have a shower curtain. And that shower curtain, you know, it's kind of folded up. But then, of course, if you leave it folded up, everything gets wet. But you're able to stretch out that curtain. That's what it says in the Bible, stretch out the curtains. It didn't say add to the curtains. It said, stretch out your curtains. That's the picture I want to give you. I believe the Lord is saying in this verse here, stretch out your reach. He's saying to you and I, he says this to us. He says, listen, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You do realize that. That can sometimes be interpreted, we are the tent of the Holy Spirit. We are the tent where the Holy Spirit resides. And he's not saying add to your tent. He's saying, I've already put enough in you when I created you. When I made you born again, I cleaned it up enough. I put the Holy Ghost in that tent. All you need to do is stretch out what I've already given you. What I find is the church is operating most of the time way under its capacity to do. That what we do is we get settled in. We kind of get relaxed. We kind of get, here we are. But see, when I was in Africa on my sabbatical, I was sitting there saying to God, you know, God, listen, I don't know if I'm really called to be this president. I know they voted, but I'm really not sure. And I was sitting on the couch in Africa because that's where I did. I went to Africa for 3 weeks of my sabbatical, and I told him, I'm not working. Get my wife to preach as much as you want. I'm doing nothing. And I sat on the couch. She preached everywhere, and I just heard from God. It felt so good not to have to prepare a sermon. But he was preparing me. And as I'm sitting on that couch, he started to speak to me. He says, listen, quit whining and telling people you're not sure. I called you to be the president. There's nothing like knowing you're called. You can be called by man, but it's better to know you're called by God. There's nothing like that. But while I'm sitting on that couch, he said, I'm getting ready. Before I even saw this verse, because it was after this conversation with God, I wrote this sermon. While I was on my sabbatical, at the end of my sabbatical, I wrote this sermon for you. And this is what, not just for you, it was for other people too, but it fits. It fits. And here's the deal. He said, I'm getting ready, watch this, to stretch you, Chris Ball. When I left my church after 27 years, we pastored that place for 27 years. We had 7 full-time staff. On January 2015, I stepped into the position voluntarily for 3 or 4 months. I wasn't voted in until May. In that time, I assumed 21 full-time employees, from 7 to 21. I had a congregation of 400. Now I have 907 credential holders. Pastors, they're a little harder to work with. I used to call it herding cats, but now I call it herding lions. Because I believe in them. And I believe God's going to do great things through the pastors and leaders and that God's given me responsible for. But you need to understand me right now. I had a $700,000 budget. Now I have a $4.5 million budget. How many know I was being stretched? Oh, my goodness. I'm trying to get an older denomination. Well, we don't call ourselves denomination because that seems wrong. Let's call it what we say it is. It's a fellowship, right? I have a fellowship that 570 of those 907 are over the age of 60. And I'm trying to raise up a whole new church and a movement that's touching young people. You heard me preach that here one time. Right? I'm trying to do it there. It was easy with a small church. Now try to do it with pastors who don't want to change. Come on. Are you hearing me? I am starting to stretch. And God is stretching me. And when I was one day standing in the mirror feeling like this, I got the picture that he stretched for me. That he stretched for me. If he stretched for me, he stretched for you. He stretched for this church. There's things, young lady, there's things, young man, in your life right now that you're not fanning the flame on. And God wants this church in this next 90 days to let this be a spiritual awakening to you. Yes, you clean out your space, but don't fill it with junk. Fill it with new opportunity. Fill it with the ability to be stretched in your capacity. That's why I said it took 3 years. I start to feel good now. I'm starting to feel like God is really doing some of the dreams that I had when I came into the office. But you know what? It's created. Oh, I had a heart attack 2 years ago. That's a stretch right there. Now, I'm not looking for anybody to get sick. I didn't look after myself. I'm looking after myself now. I ran on the treadmill this morning for an hour. Come on. So I've changed. I had to stretch. That wasn't in my life, was it, Carol, 3 years ago? It wasn't in my life. Now I don't even go anywhere. If I'm in a hotel, I find a gym because I am being stretched to be different. Why? Because part of that capacity is living long enough to do what he calls me to do. Are you hearing me? I'm just preaching out of what I've lived now. And I'm giving you the words, man. Some of you are going to leave this room and say, oh, well, I'll just leave it to the young bucks. No, don't leave it to the young bucks. God's not done with you. Until you're pushing up daisies, you're not finished. Hello. Hello. Come back in this 90 days to find a pastor that's charged. Come back for him to see a church that's charged. Come back for him to see and she to see life change in individuals. This is your opportunity to invite people to church. This is your opportunity to bring people to see the church, not just the hero pastor. Come on. Turn to somebody and say, clean out your space. Like you enjoyed it earlier. I want you to do it again. Clean out your space. How about this? Stretch out your reach. Turn to somebody right now and go, stretch out your reach. Come on, stretch it out. Stretch out your reach. Now, in the Bible here, it says this. It says this. When you're stretching out your reach, don't spare. Don't spare. The Message version, don't hold back. Lengthen your cords. Lengthen your cords. Let me tell you why lengthen your cords. He didn't, see, when we think lengthen your cords, you're thinking like I used to think before I studied this. Lengthen your cords, I thought meant, okay, well, the tent's going to be bigger now. We need longer rope to hold the tent down, right? That's what you think in your mind because we always think that way. But if you study the root of it, what really was going on in that time is he's saying, look, You're using a foot-long cord to measure, but I'm giving you a yardstick now because I got a greater capacity for you. Some of you are measuring your lives by a standard that you started with when you got born again. But it's been 10 years, lady. It's been 10 years, man. You need to start lengthening your course and measuring your distance by a yardstick because God is enlarging your capacity for greatness. Come on. Am I boring yet? Am I boring? I asked this kid, asked me, am I boring right behind me there? How am I doing? One to 10. 10 being dead. 1 being dead, 10 being, I'm okay. Where am I at? 7, 8, okay. That's why you need young people in the church. Every one of you would have said 10. But a young person is going to give it to you just like it is. So I'm going to keep trying, okay? Fan the flame on me here. I'm stretching. Okay, here we go. All right, my wife liked that. She actually liked that. Give her a 10 when she comes. Okay, moving on. Clean out your space. Stretch out your reach. Use a larger cord. Measure with much more different instruments. Look beyond where you've been measuring because God's enlarging your capacity. Last thing, this is very important. Message version. Drive the tent pegs deep. Drive the tent pegs deep. And here it says, strengthen your stakes. Strengthen your stakes. This church is getting ready to be more grounded than you've ever been. You as an individual, if you take this challenge on, this is not a 90-day challenge for your pastors. This is a 90-day challenge for you, and this is a 90-day challenge for this church. And God is asking you to be a church that's grounded. We used to take the snaps of our ponchos and a bunch of us would stick, you know, we would take the poncho, one poncho here and turn the other poncho upside down and we would snap them together and make larger tents. When we were working together, six of us boys that made it through the military. And we were there, and we would have this big, huge tent. But the interesting thing with a larger tent was when the winds of doctrine, when the winds came blowing, it was easy to grab it and mess it all up. So we had to be sure that we put our rocks on it deeper. Because we didn't have stakes, we had rocks to hold the ropes down. But if you have tent pegs, which in this case the Bible says tent pegs, you need to drive it deeper. Because you see, as this church grows, as you grow as an individual, you become more of a target for anything that wants to ruin your life. The enemy of our souls never gets up in the morning and says, you know what? I think I'm going to give Chris a break today. The enemy of our souls, every single day of our lives, is looking to kill, to destroy you, to tear you apart, to tear your marriages apart, to tear this church apart. The enemy of our souls never says, I think I'll give Living Waters a break today. No. But God doesn't give you a break either. It's up to us to strengthen our stakes. You need to know more of the Word than you've ever known it. You need to have the Word of God in you more than you ever have. So that when the wind comes, you can be grounded in your word. You could be grounded in faith. You could be grounded in the confidence of the love of Christ in your lives. You need to be a more grounded church than what you are. Now, why? Because God's getting ready to do greater things in this place than you can even imagine or think. God is able to do more than you can imagine or think. God says, when the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, I come to give you life almost abundantly. No, more abundantly. He's coming to give you life more abundantly. You haven't needed that love as much now, but when this 90-day period's over and he's done a work getting rid of rocks, getting rid of weeds, evening your life out a little bit, when he's taking your life and he's stretching you and stretching you, you're going to need to be grounded. You're going to need to be grounded. You're going to need to say, I am strong. You should just commit now from this day until you see that beautiful smile of your pastor 90 days from now. You should say, I am going to read the Bible. every day. Wouldn't that be an easy? I mean, come on. The most read part of the Bible is Genesis, and it's in usually January. Well, this is our January. Come on. Wouldn't it be cool if we would just take on our personal challenge? I'm not going to come up with anything. You take the personal challenge. I'm going to start reading the Bible. Pastor Jack, on your behalf, I'm going to read the Bible every day until I see you, and I ask you to hold me accountable. Call me up and ask me how I did, because I need to be stretched. Not until you're back. I mean, when you get back. Now, don't check on me between now and then. I'm going to fail. So moving on, okay? Come on. Come on. We're in this together, right? This is a couple we believe in. This is a couple that we hold fast to. This is a couple we're praying for. But this isn't about them. This is about this church. This is about you. God wants you to be more grounded. He wants your marriage to be more grounded. He wants your children to be more grounded. But you can't do it for your kids. It starts with you. How am I doing? Am I up to 8? Come on, good. All right, good. Well, I got 5 minutes to go, but they say if you end early, that's worth 2 more points. All right, moving on. Stand with me if you would. Now, don't leave. It'd be a shame to leave right now because he'll score me lower. Okay? All right. See if you can help me remember this verse. What was the first point? You should be able to remember this. Clear out your space. Come on, say it with me again. Clear out. Number two, stretch out your reach. Come on, say it. Stretch out your reach. Number three, drive your tent pegs deep. Drive your tent pegs deep. Let's say it together. Drive your tent pegs deep. Be grounded. Be grounded. Be grounded. Listen, I just feel led to just pray for you. No altar call. Let me tell you why no altar call. Because it's not about what you do now. It's what you do over the next 90 days. I'm just going to pray you do it for those who want to do it. I'm going to pray for protection over this church. I'm going to pray for protection over you. I'm going to pray for God to bless your pastors over and above what they can imagine or think. I'm going to pray for that. But here's one thing I know I can't do. I can't pray for you for the if clauses in the Bible. The if clauses are those things that God says, if you do this, then I'll do that. Because that's up to you. Because of free will, you can say no. You can give me a 4 score, but this godly man gave me an 8. But I want to pray for you. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for the opportunity to be in this place in this most significant time. When you're getting ready to do something great, you're getting ready to do something great in these people, you're getting ready to do something great in these pastors, and you're getting ready to do something great in this church. And so, Lord, we come together. If you believe that with me, raise your hands. That makes you Pentecostal. Go ahead. Raise your hands. If you don't like raising your hands, raise your hands. And just say to God right now, God, I want to enlarge my capacity. Say that. God, I want to enlarge my capacity for greatness. Help me find the things. Don't repeat now, just in your heart. Help me find the things you want to clean out. The rocks, the weeds, the unevenness in my life. Help me, Lord Jesus. Please help me during this time to be able to stretch beyond where I've been. For some of you, he's calling you to change your schedule. For some of you, he's calling you to lay down things that you've been picking up for years, things that choke out the word that God's spoken to you. And then, Lord, help me become more grounded. Help me become more grounded. I pray a protection over this church, Lord, in the absence of their chief shepherds here, the under-shepherds of this church, Lord. I know you're the chief cornerstone, but you've given the church, pastors and teachers and evangelists and prophets and apostles. And these two pastors have been a gift. I pray, Lord, you protect this church. Use the leaders. Use even a little child to lead the way. Lord, I pray for this church to grow in the next 90 days. I pray, God, that individuals would grow in the next 90 days. And now, Lord, I pray, go ahead and take your hands now and point them to your pastors up here. And I'm going to pray for them. I pray for these two. God, I just ask that you would bless them, that you would encourage them. Where they need to rest, that you would give them rest. Where they need new vision and refreshing, give them refreshing and new vision. Where they need a sense of new wisdom or new revelation, open up the minds of their heart and the eyes of their understanding so that they might be able to see what you see and do what you're calling them to do. I ask you to strengthen their marriage. I ask you to strengthen their home. I ask you to strengthen their ministry. I ask you to strengthen every area of their lives. We give them to you completely, trusting you with them because you are the one we trust. And it's in your name we pray. And all of God's children in this house said, amen. Amen. Thank you so much for the honor and privilege to be here this morning. Have a good day.